Your name is power, mighty, holy. Jesus, there is no other name that we may have eternal life, only in the name of Jesus. As we contemplate on your name, Jesus, it reminds unto us, it means Yahweh, God, bring forth our salvation. Thank you for your name. Thank you for the meaning of your name. Thank you for the healing comes from your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the big story headline in the news last week that captivated the interest of the nations, the world, was the first appearing of Saddam Hussein before the Tribunal Court of Law in central Baghdad, when the presiding judge asked Saddam to tell about himself. Saddam stepped up to the microphone and he seized the moment. Saddam challenged the judge and he defied the court of law. And he said, first of all, who are you and what are you doing in this place? The judge pleaded with the defendants and said, Mr. Saddam, we need to know your full name and please tell us who you are. Saddam shot back and he said, if you are Iraqi, you should know who I am. I am the president of Iraq. And I don't answer any questions because I don't justify. This court is illegitimate. The first appearing of Saddam, he challenged the judge. He defied the court of law. But interestingly, according to the articles in the paper that I read, four or five judges refused to allow their faces to be seen on the televisions. They were afraid of reprisal. Sermon this morning entitled, The Shoreline Appearing of the Risen Savior. Chapter 21 of the book of John and chapter 20. The Bible tells us the multiple times of the appearings of Jesus. And it's interestingly, specifically, when Jesus appealed to the disciples, the disciples did not recognize Jesus. The shoreline appearing spring revival of faith in the hearts of the disciples. The appearings of Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee bring trust and confidence to the disciples. You may remember that prior to the appearings of Jesus, the disciples were confused. They were like sheep without shepherd. Did you know that the disciples, according to the scripture, The disciples were on hold, inoperative. They were on the lowest point of their fellowship. They seemed they lost their sense of directions. They felt that they have come to the end of the road. Jesus was crucified. They believed that that will never happen to Jesus because they were looking forward for the kingdom to be set up and they were the candidates of that kingdom. They were so confused. The Bible tells us that the disciples set out for a fishing expedition. Did you know why? Because they entertained the thought and explored the options of going back to their old trade of fishing. Being a fisherman, making a living, and live day at a time. They returned to the boat, and we learned they spent the whole night long casting the net, pulling up, discover nothing. Not only they were stressed out, not knowing what to do, what the future holds for them. Now they try to go back to their professions, and it seems things are not going too good for them. They spend the whole night fishing, and the Bible says they got nothing. They interpret spending the whole night fishing, it was a bad sign of what the future holds for the disciples. They were sad. They were unhappy. As I read the story, there are some experiences jumping to my mind. I grew up in the island, and I remember about 14, 15, my family had a fishing net. It's about a quarter mile. I'm telling you, if you want to go fishing, you go to the island. Every time you take that net, guarantee you got loads of fish. So my brothers and my father, when he was still alive, we took that net out. And we wait until the tide is high tide, because we cannot take that net in low tide because it will mingle and tangle and it's going to be a messed up. So we went in low tide because the net was just, you know, flow right to the bottom of the lagoon and able to use floats and stake to hold that net. As I said, every time we go take that net out, spread it out, we loaded with fish. My brothers and my fathers, they celebrate. We catch a lot of fish. But not for me. I never enjoyed catching so many fish. Do you know why? Because when we get those fish at our home, guess who will go and sell those fish to the village and to the family nearby? I was the one that take those fish and sell in the market. And I would come back home, smell like fish, take a shower, and then I go to school. That's why when we catch so many fish, my fathers and my brothers, they were so happy, but not me. When I read the story, I thought to the disciples, if I were them, I would be delighted because I will not worry to sell those fish. But the story tells us they were unhappy.
spending all night long casting the nets, pulling on the boats, find nothing. And the worst of all, their history, they were professional fishermen. Until the morning daybreak. Something happened in the morning daybreak. Someone was at the shore. The Bible tells us that disciples did not recognize it was the risen Savior appeared on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus appeared in early morning, he knew in his heart what's trouble, what's going on, the great stress, depressions in the mind of the disciples. Jesus appeared in the times the disciples need him. But the problem was, they did not recognize it was the risen Savior. The purpose of appealing, of revealing, or Jesus' appeal that morning was to reinstate the faith of the disciples, is to encourage them, is to help gain confidence because they were about to go back in their old ways. The questions we'd like to ask this morning: how did Jesus, the risen Savior, how did the appearance on the shore of the Sea of Galilee revive the faith, feel the trust, move the disciples to recommit in their commissions to be a fisherman for the world? How did the appearance of Jesus help build the faith of the disciples? I praise the Lord that his appearing was timing, was purpose, to help rebuild the faith, the confidence of the disciples. If you look at chapter 21, verse 4 and verse 5, I read it for us. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Verse 5. Jesus called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" The other translation, "Do you have any meat or do you have any fish for food?" Did you know why Jesus called out to the disciples? He wants to have the attentions of his disciples. To revive our faith, we need to have our attention focused on the risen Savior. The problem was, Jesus, hey, but they did not realize that it was the Master who wants to have their attention. To have a spiritual revival, to revive our faith. The point here, Jesus needs your attention and my attention. How did he do it? Did you know one of the problems facing our generations today, according to the experts, physicians, It's called attention deficit disorder. Maybe some of you familiarized with that. Kind of new to me, but I do some reading. One of the problems that faced our generations is suffered from what they call attention deficit disorder. What is it? Well, I read, they said the cause is unknown. The cure, there's no cure, but it can be controlled. The symptoms, here are the symptoms. Easily distracted by sight, sound, in the environment. I look at that, I said, wow. I can see myself in that one. Unable to concentrate for a long period of time. I look at that, wow, when I read my Bible, I'm able to fall on my Bible. Restless, impulsive. Tendency to daydream. Slow to complete tasks. I have difficulty with that. Inattentiveness, impulsiveness, hyperactivity. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I feel like I suffer that disorder. Attention deficit disorder. But the expert says, they state their opinions why the cause of that disorder. They said children are overstimulated by technological sound, lights, color, keeps out by computers, video games, televisions. The other parts of the cause, unbalanced diet that affect the body chemistry. Children are lack of rest and have no quiet time. I said to myself, have mercy. Our generations suffer with attention deficit disorder. I wonder why we make it so hard to see Jesus as He waving. He wants to have our attention. Because our generations is overwhelmed with information that given out with every avenue. My friend, this morning, could it be attention deficit disorder is one of the way that the devil put in our way so we will not let Jesus have our attention? Could it be that's why we don't have a spiritual revival? Faith revival, because there are so many distractions. When Jesus appeared on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, He wants to have the attention of the disciples. They were about to give up. They were about to go back to their old ways. But Jesus said, hey, I need your attention. Do you have any fish? What does the Bible say? Their answer was, no, we don't have fish. You know, David became part of his contemplations is to have his attentions focused right on the face of his Lord. Psalm 143. You may mark that psalm, it's beautiful. Psalm 143, verse 7 to 9. I will read it for us. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me words of your unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. We suffer with a spiritual call, spiritual attention disorder, because that's what the devil wants us to have. Distracted us so we will don't have the spiritual or faith revival. The answer is, we need our attention, focus, face to face with Jesus. He said to the disciple, I'm here. Are you in trouble? But the sad news was, they did not recognize it was a risen Savior calling for attention. How often Jesus waving at you, smiling at you, giving you enough hints, but you are preoccupied, or maybe your problem of spiritual attention deficit disorder is overwhelmed or too much. Or, my friend, this morning the point is, the answer or the solutions for the problems of attention deficit disorder in our spiritual life, we need to hear the voice of Jesus in the morning. We need to hear His voice. We need to meditate. You may experience this sometimes when I read my Bible. You know, one of the characteristics here is unable to concentrate for a long period of time. If you experience what I usually experience, sometimes I nod my head and then I find myself asleep on the Bible, be alarmed that I am kind of affecting with the spiritual attention deficit disorder. We need to readjust so we can read and contemplate and see Jesus at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, asking, do you need help? That's what a faith revival starts from. Face to face with the Master in the early morning. Late that evening. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I wrestle with the same journey. I want to focus, to stay focused and have Jesus to be the attention of my life. Interesting, the expert says that 30% to 50% of adults, 30% to 50% of adults had attention deficit disorder in their childhood. So there you go. We need to admit, when we come to our relationship with Jesus, guarantee that's part of the consequence of sin within us. Is attention deficit disorder. But David said, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Let the morning bring the smell of everlasting love, that I may give my soul to you. Not only that Jesus need the attention of His disciples, because He would like to challenge them to move them to the next level of their spiritual maturity or spiritual or faith revival. But there's also another thing happened there. Jesus said to them in verse 6, when they say, "We have not catch any fish," Jesus said, "Cast the net to where? To the right side." I read and study. I praise the Lord. I've seen this for the very first time. Did you know the right side in the ancient world and even in our time, the right side considered to be the what? The royal side. The right side is considered to be the strength, the power. The right side is considered to be justice and righteousness. I'm in the military. One of the rules in the military, when I walk with a higher officer, I should not walk on his right. I have to walk on his left. Because the right side considered to be superior, powerful, justice and righteousness. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Cast the net to the right side." Jesus said, "Please do the right thing. Do the right thing without other people's looking." You may remember the disciples had a difficult, have a problems. They always argue when they get together. Who will be the first and who is the greatest among the kingdom of God? You may remember that. That's the problem. And also, if Peter and John, the son of Zebedee, are the professional fishermen, and here's the stranger in the seashore at the shoreline, commanded, "Cast the net to the right side," it would be difficult for the disciples to accept a stranger demanding or giving order for them where to cast the net. It was not an issue of pride. When the disciples come to the point, their intellect come to the end, the immediate common sense that come to their mind, do the right thing. When Jesus says, "Cast the net to the right," do the right thing. The justice, the righteousness of God is on your right. If you don't know that I am the Savior, if you don't know I am the risen Savior, just do the right thing. On your right is the justice and righteousness of God. Micah chapter 6 spoke to that very fact. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. You may remember that text. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" To what? To act justly, to love mercy, and to what? To walk humbly with thy God. To have a faithful revival. To have a spiritual revival. First, our attentions must on the face of Jesus. Second, do the right thing. Do what is right. Do what is justice. Do what is noble. To glorify the Lord. When they cast the net to the right side, the Bible tells us, they could not able to hold the nets onto the boat. So they drag the net behind them. When they knew that they had a big catch, red light went into your mind, and John said to Peter, "Peter, it was the Messiah." My family this morning, There are sometimes when we're just about to give up, when you're just about to throw the towel, remember there is someone at the shore. Someone's there for us, reminding us to us, He can change our defeat into victory. He can change our failure into success. If we do the right thing, what is justice, what is righteous, and what is noble in the presence of God. I praise the Lord that He gives us practical way that we can have a faith revival. Attentions to Him and do what is right in spite of who's looking, watching. Another thing that it will add into the spiritual revival, recharging. If you look at verse 12, verse 10, 21, John 21, verse 10. Interestingly, if you have your Bible, just read there. It's very, it jumps out of the text and touched my heart. I praise the Lord. You know what Jesus said in verse 10? Read it, if you can read it together with me. It said, Jesus said to them, bring some fish you have just what? Caught. Wait a minute. I thought they fished the whole night. I thought they were whole night, there was nothing. And here's Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have got. My friend, Jesus would like to give us credit more than what we deserve. That is grace. The unmerited grace of God. He gives us credit that we don't deserve. Why? When we focus and attention to Jesus, when we do what is right, He will give you credit that beyond our understanding that we don't deserve. That is grace. One of the, on the New Year's Day, Georgia Technical School played UCLA in the Rose Bowl, had it in Pasadena. One of UCLA player, Roy Regal, recovered the fumble. And somehow he confused during the actions and he started running. He ran, but he was running on the wrong direction. Just about to the goal line, one of his teammates tackled him. Stop him from scoring a point for the opponent team. Everyone watched that game. They wonder in their mind, what will Coach Price will do with Roy Regal in the second half? Teams went to their dressing room. Get ready for the second half. Players sit on the benches except Regal. He put the towels over his head, sat down in the corner, his face in his hands, and he cried like a baby. The coach used to have a great deal of things to say at that time. But the coach, Price, was silent. Some team members thought that he was trying to figure out what to do with Mr. Roy Regal.
The second time start for the second half. The coach looked at the boys, at the guys, and said, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second half." The team went out in the field, but not Roy Riggle. He didn't move, but the coach looked back and said, "Roy, did you hear what I said? The same team that played the first half played the second half." Roy did not move. The coach came to him, discovered the strong man with tears rolling down his cheeks. The coach put his hands over his shoulders and said, "Roy, get up and go play the second half." Roy said to the coach, "I cannot face the crowd. I humiliate the university. I humiliate the coach. I cannot face the crowd." The coach said to Roy, "Get up and go play. The game is only half time." There are times in life that we feel like we are not fit or we embarrassed ourselves, but God never given up on us. That is grace. He gives us the credit that we don't deserve. That's what he said to the disciple, "Bring some of the fish that you got." When we focus on Jesus, when we give him our attention, when we do the right thing, walk righteously, justice with God, he gives us credit beyond what we deserve. What a merciful, what a loving Savior that he appears on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. He wants us to be success. He will change our failure into victory. He will change our defeat into success, because he wants us not to give up. It's not yet the time. That revived the faith of the disciples. That recharged the commissions to the disciples to become fishers of men and witness for the resurrected Savior, that have mercy on us. My prayer, may the experience of Jesus and his disciples help us not to be discouraged, but to be rejudged and to be encouraged to recommission ourselves to the gospel and the call. Introduce someone to the kingdom of God. Father God in heaven, you are so loving, you are so patient to us. We are not worthy. We don't deserve it. But that's what who you are. You draw the attention of disciples. You judge them to do what is right. And you credit them what they don't deserve, and that is grace. Praise be your name. Do likewise unto us, so we be able to recommit ourselves to serve you, whatever the cost. In the name of Jesus, we